All right, Maggie. Let's do this thing.
Take us away?
Yeah. Or else take us away. You're very noisy. That's the intro. We should add his howl into the intro noises.
Hi, this is Maggie.
And Ashley.
And you're listening to The Watering Hole, a place where animals and animal enthusiasts regularly drink. Every episode, we'll talk about different animals and why they're cool, from basic biology to the threats they face and what people are doing about it, all while under the influence.
I don't think I like that.
I don't think I did either.
Well, too bad, because we're keeping it in there.
I wanted to do my best Will Arnett impression.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good job. You nailed it.
Boom. I would just need to drop like 6 octaves. That's all.
That's fine. But no, it was great.
Thanks.
It's good to change it up once in a while. If we're going to record every time, you know, variety is the spice of life.
Wow, where'd you did you come up with that on your own?
I did.
Did you really?
I'm a poet.
Oh my God, look at you off the cuff there.
Ooh. What's up? How you been?
It's
been
well,
2 minutes.
In the last 10 minutes, we've, you know, taken a break.
We peed.
Argos is real codependent. So is Ollie,
yeah.
We found out. We both knew this, but it was exhibited in
it.
Full.
Yeah. Want to hear something that I think is funny, which may not actually be funny, but I thought was funny?
Yep.
Sure. So today, I answered for you. So today at work, we had to do this, like, IT training, you know, like, where, you know, you watch, like, these little phishing videos. Not, like, fishing.
Right.
PH.
Phishing.
Phishing. And you have to, like, answer little questions to, like, give you scenarios.
Oh, God.
And I just, it was so, it may not actually be that funny. I thought it was hilarious. They're like, here are instances where, like, people caught phishing scams and it saved the company. And one of them was, like, this employee at, like, the Public Water Corporation saw that some, like, his computer was acting funny and he reported it. And it's like, he saved the wells, like, the local waterways from being contaminated. I was like, I don't think that's how that works. We're not in a comic book. Like, this isn't, like, the Joker, like, the Penguin coming to poison the water
right.
well.
That
like,
sounds, what is that sounds way too intense.
I mean, like, I was like, I don't think that's what they're doing. They want to steal money. They're not going to poison the town.
I know. I was just going to, like, who's actually trying to catfish the water company?
Right?
Like, it's not actually the local trout.
Right?
No.
I'm like, also, how do you, in a computer, then poison the local water source?
I know.
I mean, again, I'm not a hacker. I've never claimed to be one, and I never will.
But it just doesn't seem like what you would do.
But isn't that wild?
Also, why would you contact the local water company of all things? Like, they yeah. definitely don't have a lot of money.
Right? I was just like, I took a screenshot of it. I was like, this is my favorite part of the security training. This super real story that happened.
God, like, these are real instances. No, they're fucking not.
No, they're not.
Don't try to
They also had, like, they're like, this is an interview with a former hacker. And he's like, I'm not going to tell you my name. And I was like, yeah.
And they dubbed over his voice and his black. On his face. So.
It's like, this is some guy right out of college. He's like, this is my make or break. So I get into the acting industry. Oh, being this fake hacker. It was great. It was a great way to spend my day.
Wow.
And now I feel super secure. So
great. My story is that in between episodes, I got a message from a guy who we think might have been flirting with me.
Maybe. Listen, listeners, listen to this story and see, is this a flirtatious text? Knowing us. I think that's
knowing
key.
Us.
Knowing the recipient.
Which he well knows. He knows well the recipient. He sent me an Instagram post that says, scientists find that vampire bats French kiss with mouthfuls of blood to deepen social bonds.
Is he saying he wants to French kiss you with a mouthful of blood?
Because
that's a hard pass. That can't be sanitary.
That's disgusting. Well, yeah. I just said, ew. That was
accurate.
My response.
Accurate. Same. Yeah.
Vomit. Anyway, so ooh. Yeah, tell us.
Cheap.
Also, if that's going to be your approach to flirting with me.
Big sigh.
That's my response. Anyhow. Okay, so we lost my dog.
Where would he go?
I bet he's on your bed.
No, he likes that little hallway, like, outside of my bedroom door. He likes that little spot. Is he there? No? Yes? Is he on the bed? Is he in the corner?
He's on your bed.
Nice. Good boy.
I just saw his eyes, like, ooh, shining out.
Hello?
Oh, that's good for him. He's good. Not on the couch.
We have space.
Yeah.
It is cool.
All right. So are you ready?
Oh my God, I'm so ready.
You're like, I've been waiting. All right, your hint.
Oh, yes.
Bear with me. It's long.
Oh God.
But you're
is this like a six-parter again?
No, but you'll probably get it. Birds have the best names. You've seen the memes where a guy sees a cool bird and Googles black bird with yellow head, and the bird he's Googling is a yellow-headed blackbird. Perhaps you've also seen the memes about birds called woodcocks or shags. Today, I'm doing a family of one of those types of birds, the kind with a wildly inappropriate name.
Dixisle!
Do you want to take a guess at which family? Okay, Dixisle was your first guess. No.
No Dixisle. We just did boobies, so I really hope it's not boobies.
It's not boobies.
Shag. Cock of the Rock?
Close. I mean, you're... There are so many is the point here.
So my friend gifted me a puzzle that's like inappropriate bird names. And I'm trying to think of
that's a spot on gift.
Right? You have the mug.
Exactly.
I have it as a puzzle. So I'm trying to remember the other ones. Dick Sissel's on there. Mm-hmm.
Southern Screamer. No.
Woodcock. Titmouse? Titmice?
No.
Also, titmice though are so cute.
They are.
They're so cute.
But you're starting to head down the right direction with one of those words. Yeah.
Great tits.
Bush tits.
Bush tits. All right.
Yep.
We went, last episode was boobies. Now we've moved on to tits. They're small like mine, right?
Right, exactly. So the family is Agathalidae, or bush tits and long-tailed tits.
Ah, yes.
So the family contains 13 species across 3 genera, mm-hmm. So family, genus, species. All but one are found in Europe or Asia.
Europe or Asia.
The solitary outlier is the American bush tit, and it's easily the most drab and boring. Trust me.
Just like Americans.
Trust me on this, though, because even its description in, like, notable bird websites is, just makes it sound pathetic.
Birders can be so mean.
Like, they're very spiteful.
Right? They're like, the most drab coloring you've ever seen on a bird. It's like brown. You're like, okay, it's brown. I get it.
Some description about this was like, it weakly flies. It has no song to sing. It's just really pathetic. Also, for what it's worth, the American bush tit is a species in its own genera. So I mentioned there were 3 genera. So it's, the American bush tit is one of those 3.
So it's special,
I guess. Anyway, the reason I chose the bush tit family is because there was a bird I really wanted to do, but there wasn't a ton of info on it. And then I Googled it. Mm-hmm. And, like, another very cool bird popped up, but there was even less info about that.
Cool.
So I figured, why not just do the whole family? All right. So originally, I wanted to feature the white-browed tit warbler, which is one of the prettiest little birds you ever did see.
Hold, please.
White-browed tit warbler.
Oh my God!
Isn't it like actually quite beautiful?
It looks like an oil spill, like in a good way. Like, you know, like, you know what I'm talking about though?
Yeah, when the sheen on the pavement,
like, it's a rainbow, but it's like an oil spill rainbow, which means like it's purpley, yellowy, like, it's, listen, look at a picture, you know what I'm talking about.
I love that that's the first place you went, followed by killing a gnat.
Sorry, they're so hard to kill because they're so small. Sorry, oh my God. Got it.
I love how, like, a couple episodes we were like, how do you feel when a bug is in your house? And it's like, I don't care.
It's fine. Okay, it's different when it's a gnat.
I know. Gnats are just stupid. Also, mosquitoes.
Oh, God.
That's the one bug I will never feel sympathy for killing. Especially, like, when you can hear it buzzing around your face and you're like, fuck off. And then you just end up smacking your own face because it's landed on your cheek.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's how you got rid of it.
But so you couldn't find a lot on the white-browed tit warbler.
Right. And so while I was searching that bird, I came across the Burmese bush tit, which, if you catch it at the right angle, it looks just like Eugene Levy.
Oh, my God. Hold. Again.
Or the Lorax. Either or.
Oh, my God. No, Eugene Levy, 100%. I need to rewatch Schitt's Creek.
Okay, continue. Some of the other fantastic names of these wildly inappropriate birds include, just honestly, think on the inappropriateness.
Okay.
The white-cheeked bush tit. The sooty bush tit. Black-throated bush tit. Crested tit warbler. And rufous-fronted bush tit.
Mm. So I have to ask, do you know why tit?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Why tit?
Why are birds named tits?
The things we ask.
We can find that out real quick.
Type that into Google.
Okay.
Some explorer? What?
So, as I mentioned...
like, mad about it. Why?
Some explorer. Actually...
Was it a white man? Sorry.
So there is perhaps a reason. We also were talking about titmouse birds earlier. Tit is apparently Old English for mouse. And I also had said these are burbs.
They're very round.
They're very tiny. Yeah. So, like, they're mousy.
Gotcha.
So that's possibly why they're tits.
Gotcha. So tit is also means mouse.
Yes.
In Greek? Latin?
Old English.
Old English.
Yeah, apparently. Okay.
Good. All right. With some clarity.
So bush tits or long-tailed tits are tiny perching birds, as we just started to explain, whose tails are relatively long.
I thought that was it, and then I remembered there's a lot more to go.
Ichabod. I can't believe I thought hard seltzers were colored.
Yeah, that's honestly the biggest takeaway from tonight. Wait, are you drinking a straight vodka? No, I'm drinking the seltzer you gave me. Just out of a glass.
Are there any, like, natural flavors that go into this? You
probably
would think
not.
Then, with a hint of raspberry.
There probably are colored seltzers, but
hard seltzer with flavors. They're all artificial, I bet.
Yeah.
Made pure. Yeah, purely in a factory.
You bought it. Why are you mad at it?
Because it's just false advertising.
Anyway.
Okay, so as I started to say, they have tails that are relatively long compared to their body size.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think of a burb,
mm-hmm.
you think of a stubby tail, mm-hmm. short and fat. When you think of a songbird, you think of a tail that fits its length. This is a burb with a bird-length tail. That's all.
Gotcha. So it's round with like a long, just something smacked on the back of it.
Mm-hmm. Most of the species in this bird family can be found in deciduous forests, shrublands, and sagebrush steppe. They're an understory bird, so they're not hanging out on the ground like a robin, and they're not flying up high at the treetops like crows.
Gotcha.
They're typically not migratory, but some of the Asian species that live in the foothills of the Himalayas will move even lower in colder months.
Mm-hmm.
So we've also talked about some other altitudinal birds, like some of your mannequins. These birds like to live in flocks. Many of them are... I'm going to read you this
sentence.
What'd
you write? Based on the horror on your face, there was a disconnect.
What was I doing when I wrote this down?
Word for word, it says.
This isn't even that funny. Okay, these birds like to live in flocks. Many of them are brown, black, or gray colored, except for the two tit warblers, which are very pretty and colored with purple and bluish tints. Those two things don't have anything to do with
it. That was just a stream of consciousness. You're like, okay, I see this and this. It can be one bullet point.
Oh God, why? I don't know. Whatever, it was late. Okay. They are not songbirds, so don't expect them to go to karaoke with you. God,
what?
Maggie, what's wrong with you?
My God, you may have done your research on time, but it is wild.
Next sentence. They eat insects.
Good, 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 good.
And... when it comes to mating, the whole family is Monogamous.
How did you spell it?
Magnanimous.
Ooh. The classic magnanimous bird.
Except for the American bush tit, who's decided to be poly and has been known to exhibit cooperative
who's
breeding.
Decided to be poly. Okay. Maggie, from now on, you can only do your research last minute. Otherwise, you're getting too creative.
Okay, and then I put throwback to another cooperative breeder in the U.S. Any ideas? They are also found in the American Southwest.
Cooperative breeders in the American Southwest.
You did this in like season 2 or something.
You think I remember?
How did I remember? It's a woodpecker.
Oh, the acorn woodpecker?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Cooperative breeding is just where everybody chips in to raising the young, kind of like it takes a village, yeah. But literally.
Mm-hmm.
Takes
a flock.
It takes a whole flock. They like to hang out with those of their own kind as well as other understory birds. Because there are so many different species, they all have different conservation statuses.
Stedi.
And I just think that they have wildly wonderful names. And that's where I stopped writing notes.
I like it. It's very similar to my mannequin review of they're wild.
They're wild.
There's
what do you think?
So many of them. I didn't even know. This Burmese bush tit may be one of my favorite birds ever. It's my life goal now to see it. So,
I know. And they're not very prevalent. They're not in a lot of places.
No, they're endemic to the Chin Hills of Myanmar. Myanmar?
Myanmar.
Myanmar.
Formerly known as Burma.
Which is... Okay, well, now I need to go there. Thank you for introducing me to these wildly inappropriate birds. Love it.
Uh-huh.
That's exciting.
Yes.
Are you ready to take a tour somewhere else?
I'd love to go elsewhere.
Perfect. I'd love to leave. You restart the cameras.
I'd love to not be here.
I'd love to get out of here. You ready for this animal?
Yep.
All right, I have a clue that...
for once.
Well, it's not a very helpful clue.
Oh, God damn it,
which
Ashley.
Which is consistent. So this animal, it's a family of animals, is...
Don't worry, there's not a glitch in your system. This was an exceptionally long pause.
It was. So this creature exists in my apartment as one of my more unique decor.
Really thought you were going to say exists in your imagination?
Probably. No, it's real.
Your unique decor. Well, now we get to play a game.
What's in Ashley's apartment?
We call this segment. Well.
It's not currently prominently
visible.
Displayed. No, it's visible to you and not me.
So that means it's this direction, probably.
Yeah.
Is it some kind of grouper?
That's not what that is, but that's what you're looking at.
Okay.
it is flatfish. So I have, I'll show it on the YouTube video, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, is this what this is? Yeah, it is. Okay. I have this planter.
Is that a flounder?
It's a flounder. It's a flatfish.
Did we do Mola Mola already?
We did Mola Mola, but that's not this guy.
Right.
They're different.
Okay, great.
So I have this planter that is also from my grandfather's cottage that I didn't know. Like, I knew this planter existed, but there's always a plant in it, and it was hanging up. And it is a ceramic flatfish, which you'll learn about in just a second, planter. And it's just the most magnificent thing in the entire world. I don't know where my grandfather got it. I don't know why he got it, and I don't care.
Who makes flatfish
planters? But, I think it's handmade. It is handmade.
It is 1,000% handmade, look at it.
The name, something, it says something, I don't know what the signature is, but it's 100% handmade, and it's absolutely fantastic.
It's really cool.
It is. I have to put a plant in it and hang it.
I was just going to say, it still has dirt in there
from
the previous plant.
Yes. But I didn't know it existed until this summer when we were packing up my grandpa's cottage. And mom was like, do you want this planter? I'm like, what is this
1,000%
planter?
1,000% yes.
I was like, why'd you even ask? You knew the answer. But so I was inspired to do flatfish. So I could have picked just flounder, but I didn't. So flatfish is actually an entire order. It is, or it's a member of the ray-finned demersal fish order, Pleuronectiformes, also called Heterosomata.
Why do they have so many? What? Why?
I don't know. It was really long. There was more to that after that. But so flatfish, the order of part of the order of ray finned fish, which like ray finned are just like kind of fins. So in this grouping of flatfish, this includes flounders, soles, turbot, plaice, P-L-A-I-C-E, and halibut.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So there's a bunch of them that are
that's
these flatfish.
That's super cool. There's a really good restaurant right down the street from where I lived in Maine called The Contented Soul.
Ooh. But it's I like it. Nice.
Right on the water.
Ooh, beautiful. And really the thing that they all have in common is that they are flat. They are ovally shaped. And they're asymmetrical, which we'll get into what I mean by that.
Okay,
in
great.
A minute. They range in a variety of sizes, though. I didn't realize this. They can be as small as 1 inch and up to 15 feet.
What?
Right?
15 feet?
Right?
That's like as, that's from this end
that's
of the carpet.
That's more than two of me.
That's a lot more than two of you. That that's is true. From the window to the walls.
It's like three, almost. Sweat down the balls. But yeah, they can be really big and up to 615 pounds.
615.
This is from Nat Geo. This isn't from Wikipedia.
I was just gonna say, that's oddly specific.
Yeah, I know. It must have been like this really big. I think like the Atlantic like halibut is like one of the bigger species. But they can be huge. They can be huge.
Wow. Like that's so much bigger than our dogs.
It's a lot bigger than our dogs who are smaller than us. So weird that you chose that to be like the point of reference. Yeah, they're bigger than my 35-pound dog.
But some of them are 1 inch, so they're as big
that's
as small.
That's true. Some of them are very small. But there are over 800 species spread over 16 families of these flatfish.
Damn.
Right?
That's cool.
I did put some of the family names in, and I'm going to pronounce them. Or try to pronounce them. So we've got Solidae, easy. Bothidae, easy. Cynoglossidae, a little bit harder. Here we go. Paralichthodidae. Mm-hmm. Oncopteridae.
Well done.
To name a few. I think I did a pretty good job. I think I did a great job. But yes, there's a lot of them, which I didn't realize. I thought it would be a smaller grouping of animals. I didn't realize I was doing 800 species in one swoop, but whatever.
So you're doing an order, not just a family.
It's part of an order.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Also, evolution is so cool. Let's just have a timeout for evolution.
A little round of applause for evolution.
Wow. Right? That is crazy. So many different flatfish.
Yeah. I mean, fish are wild because, like, they're just like, we're going to do a little bit different pieces, but, like, what? What percentage of the world is water?
Like 70.
There's so much room to grow. So much room to explore.
Have we talked yet on this podcast about how fish don't exist?
No.
This is a shout out to
Chris
and
like that's when it came up.
The book Fish Do Not Exist.
But on my list to read, so
I highly recommend. I'm not going to spoil it for you. Mm-hmm. You should all read it.
Okay. It's on the to read list. So they are found in oceans worldwide from the Arctic through the tropics to Antarctica. There's 800 species. So
they're everywhere.
They're everywhere. Most species are found in depths between 0 and 500 meters, or up to 1,600 feet.
They could be anywhere.
They could be anywhere. And a few have been recorded at depths of an excess of 1,500 meters, or 4,900
feet.
Genuinely,
they are everywhere in the ocean.
They're everywhere, hanging out on the seafloor. Most of the time, they're in the ocean, so they're in salt water. But many will enter brackish water, which is that mix of salty and fresh. And into freshwater, and there's just a very few number of species who are exclusively freshwater fish. Most of them are in the salt water.
Wow, okay.
But the reason that we are all here today
is because booze is involved with hanging out with you.
Well, yeah, but for this fish,
not that like I need booze to hang out with you.
Yeah, you can't hang out with me sober anymore. It's rough. No,
whoa,
that is not true. I hope. But the reason we're here today, why did I pick flatfish other than the planter? What's so unique about them?
Because they swim with like one side of their body.
Because their eyes are on one side of their body. And here's the thing, is that adult flatfish, if you look at them, they're basically a fish that's flipped sideways, and they have eyes on top of their body or on one side.
Yeah.
Compared to the other, but they're not born that way. Oh! They hatch as normal, quote-unquote, normal fish with eyes on both sides of their head.
So they don't like that Lady Gaga song.
Yeah, they were not born this way. They really were not. They go through a whole metamorphosis like 1 month after hatching. So they're born as like a traditional fish. So think normal fish, straight up fish, eyes on either side of the head. They're symmetrical.
Uh-huh.
And then they go through this metamorphosis. And I was looking before you came, a great blog post from BeNaturallyCurious.com. And basically there's evidence that as they go through this metamorphosis, basically the one eye is pushed to the other side of the head. So by growing bones and muscles on one side that is opposite to where the eye ends up, it pushes the eye to the other side and they end up being a flatfish. And it's not like a ray or something like that, like in that times of a flat. It's like you take a regular fish and just put it on its side and that's now how it lives its life. and it's really funny because there's right-eyed fish and there's left-eyed fish. Like it doesn't all push to the same size. Some of them push to one side, some of them push to the other.
But they all consistently, then, like this one species yeah. will all go to the right. This
so
all
there'll
goes
be,
to the
there's
left.
Like, I think like families of like right-sided eye.
Why?
Ones,
I want to know
like,
why.
And like left-sided ones. That's like, okay, so the thing with like narwhals of like them being left tooth, like the one that, because they can technically have two tusks, but just one, just like things like that. I'm like, what's that?
Why?
But yeah, so they basically, their bones and muscles push the eye to the other side of the head. And while that's happening, they're also changing pigment. So if you look at them, they have counter-shading where they're darker on the top and lighter on the bottom. So as this whole metamorphosis is happening 1 month after they hatch, they're becoming this perfectly sideways fish, which is just like, why weren't you just like born? Like, how?
Why weren't you just born the way you were supposed to be?
Right, why did you have like, to go through this whole transition?
Why is part of you like this, and then and the other part of you is like this?
It's a very accurate planter, I gotta say.
It really is.
It really is. But so why is this beneficial, though, to be a flatfish? So basically, they spend a lot of their time on the sea floor.
Uh-huh.
And so it's easier to lay on the sea floor that way. Most of them are kind of various shades of neutral, various shades of brown and beige, maybe some black in there, so that they can blend in camouflage with the seafloor.
Sure.
Although there is a couple of different species that have a little bit of color. There's a blue and yellow peacock flounder.
Blue and yellow, so is that what flounder was in Little Mermaid?
I don't think so.
He was blue and yellow.
I know, but he wasn't this kind of flounder.
How do you know? It was a fucking cartoon.
Well, his eyes were on different sides of his head.
Because it was a cartoon!
Okay. Little Mermaid. They wouldn't be that inaccurate. What kind of fish?
Disney.
It just says he was a tropical fish. I think his name was just Flounder. He wasn't a flounder. It says he was a tropical fish.
Come on, Disney.
His occupation was a guppy. Wait, sorry, on this littlemermaid.fandom.com, race, fish, occupation, guppy, status, alive,
single,
family has kids, what? Wait, I'm sorry.
That fish should not be having any children. Wait, he's so stupid.
What? It says he has children.
Did this happen in like Little Mermaid 2 or something ridiculous?
I don't like that.
I don't like it at all. Oh my God. I'm also... flounder and you made him yellow and blue.
Yeah, they just
pay. Stupid Disney.
Okay, but there's also, remember, there's also mermaids. Like, I feel like this shouldn't be the thing throwing you. Anyway, okay, I'll dig deeper to see.
And there was a woman octopus.
To see the family tree of flounder. I don't know what's happening, but anyway, but there are some that do have colors. But yeah, so with the eyes on top of their head, It's really helpful because they can then be more, they can be under the flat to the seafloor with eyes on top of their head, kind of like the Arabian sand boa.
Yeah.
Where they have these, like, because they're kind of bulgy eyes, looking around for predators or prey that might be around. A lot of them are ambush predators, so they'll lie and wait until a fish or some kind of crustacean swims by, and then they can quickly strike them. So that's why they're like that.
I have a question that you may or may not have the answer to.
Probably not, but sure.
So fish that eat crustaceans, what are their teeth like? Because you gotta be able to crunch that stuff.
Yeah. I think they just have teeth. I don't know what they kind of, well, let's see. What do fish teeth look like? I mean, I don't think they're like parrotfish level. Or have you ever seen like those, there's like a certain fish that like has like very like human-like teeth.
Oh, I think it's a
fish.
Parrotfish.
Is it a parrotfish? Fish teeth.
They're real creepy.
I mean, yeah, they're just like little teeth. They're just like little.
And just have strong jaws.
Yeah. Wow. I don't want to get into it. It's too late in the night for that.
Okay.
Conservation-wise, again, I'm talking about 800 fish here. 800 species of fish. Of the more than 120 flatfish species listed on the IUCN Nature's Red List of Threatened Species, most of are either of least concern. So 120 are on the list. I'm guessing then the rest of them just, there's not enough data to put them on. But most of them are stable, or there's just not sufficient data to assess their numbers. But,
fair.
I mean, they're fish, so pollution.
Climate change.
The normal things, you know, going on. But that's some flatfish for you.
Wow, that is very, very cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think this is neat that we're doing families and orders and things, which we didn't always do.
Yeah. I like focusing on, there's definitely like species I could have focused on, but then you're like, well, there's just so many.
And also it's, I think, cool. Just getting a taste of like, hey, there's this whole order it's cool.
Yeah.
Good job. Great.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Speaking of, thanks for listening.
Just a reminder, though we are animal enthusiasts, we are not scientists. Do your own research. We just want you to get excited like we are. Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you like our podcast, make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening and leave us a review. It'll help us reach more animal enthusiasts like you. I don't know why I made that noise.
Like you.
You can find us on Instagram at The Watering Hole Pod, on YouTube, The Watering Hole Pod, and you can find us on our website, thewateringholepod.com, because if we're anything, it's consistent in naming.
In names, yeah.
Tune in next time when we learn about more animals, their biology and habitat, the threats they face, and what people are doing about it. Bye.
So long.
Don't you sing again.
Farewell.
No.
Not again.